to the third song,
yep.
Steal My Pride. And you know, before I play this, I want you to kind of introduce this song through how you wrote it and why you placed it where you placed it in the EP, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wanted the first two songs to be back to back just because they were so similar, and I like that. And then the third one was, in my opinion, just a very good supportive song, you know, of that collection.
Sometimes I feel so afraid of what I know. Bittersweet misery, I can't let go. Most of the time I feel strange and fall apart. I wish that I could explain, where do I start? But love don't seem to last no more. Love don't seem to last no more. Steal my pride, and that's alright.
That riff, and again, I didn't really like know where the song was going until it had been completely written, and then I sort of looked at it later on, because when you're in the middle of writing, you don't want to start nitpicking, because then you're just going to lose it. Like, you just kind of want it to come out of you, and then you figure it out, because a lot of lyrically, everything I write is like super subconscious, so it just kind of comes out. So Steal My Pride for me was a song about dealing with just super high-strung anxiety that I've sort of experienced over the past couple years. And again, I mean, I even say in that song, you know, love don't seem to last no more. And it's like, again, just me being cynical. Like, just,
I'm sensing a theme here.
Yeah. I'm sort of, you know, it's a very dark theme. It's a nice contrast because the songs are catchy, but it's like, wow, this guy's angry.
No, you're 100% right. I mean, and that makes it really cool. It's like that balancing out those two extremes to come together in
so
the middle there.
I try not to think of it, and I'm trying to sound as intelligent as I can right now, because I don't break down the songs, you know? Like what I did for you before we met up, I never do that. I don't think about it. I'm just like, all right, I wrote this song.
I feel special,
I'm
going
to go play it.
I feel special.
I'm going to go play it, and then I will go write another song. It was just one of those songs that it fit well in the collection of songs, and lyrically was another song that I felt very strongly of, and I absolutely believe in. You know, it's like there's a point in time where, you know, there's give and take in relationships, whether it's like romantic or platonic, like family, friends, whoever. For me, it was like, all right, there's moments where you feel like, all right, maybe I am wrong, and then it's like, you know what, no, like I'm not. It's not about like who's right or wrong or pointing fingers, but there has to be a give and take. And again, sonically, this song for me was like getting the strings on there was huge, because before we had put the strings on, we layered guitars like a lot, especially in the chorus. There's probably like 6-7 guitars. Hear them all,
no,
but
you would never know.
It really builds this nice fat layer underneath. What I'm getting at is before we put the strings on there, it sounded like a U2 song because it was super verbed out and like sort of
that bass line,
which
man,
was cool.
That bass line.
Kristen Lynch from the Rockets. That guy's the man, dude. So it's so, and that's so weird because like, and that's something I definitely wanted to touch on, was that I had the Rockets, a few of them, play on it, which is cool. I got to put the strings on there, which was great, and it sounded so awesome, and everybody that played did such a good job, and Ross Belanois, who produced it, wrote all the string arrangements, which this guy is like a savant. Like, this guy's nuts.
Yeah, he's one of those guys like, how did
I'm not like good at verbalizing things, because I'm not very technically proficient, so I'm like doop up or not, like, you know what I'm saying,
like make it sound like
I'm just
this.
Like, yeah, like Jesus. So He's like, okay, got it. He understood my language, which isn't really a language. While we're on here, I do have to thank Simon for playing drums and Christian for playing bass, Pete for playing cello, because it was nice. And it also brought this like very relaxed feeling, because I was playing and recording with three people that I spend so much time with, that it wasn't like I was just in there with this producer and this engineer that like I sort of just got to know on the fly. Having Simon there, having Christian there, having Pete there was just really nice. And it calmed me down.
Yeah.
Not that I was like nervous to go record, because if you mess up, you just do it again. It was nice to have very close friends there that I look up to. Like, I respect the hell out of those guys. Yeah. Like, they are just so good at what they do.
Yeah.
That it meant a lot that they would take the time to come play and do this thing that was like, because musicians are just like, yeah, we're going to go record, whatever. And then it's like,
totally, dude.
Totally, bro. Are you? But we went in, we did it like, had two pre-production meetings where we sat down, played the songs through a bunch, and then played them through as a band quite a few times, and then went back and recorded. And everything was done super quickly. I mean, the EP was actually recorded over the course of 2 months, but it was recorded in 2 days' time. So, like, I would go for 6 hours here, 4 hours here, like, and just because all of our schedules were just, like, would never line up. But it was great. And so Steal My Pride is just a song that I'm really, really proud of. Just a big pop rock song that I love. Yeah. I think it's my favorite song right now.
I saw you said that.
Like, week to week.
You talked about this before we got in here, playing with a band. It must be so cool to write a song on your own and then hear the full production of a song with a band in the background.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you think about, and you're writing the song for the first time, you finally have the pieces by yourself. Is that something you're thinking of right away? Is, all right, well, when the full band comes in, we'll do it like this? Or is it something like, oh man, we're doing a full band with this, maybe we should do, does it happen on the fly?
I think it just goes song to song. Sometimes I'm writing a song or I'm playing a riff or whatever, and I can just hear the whole thing in my head and I sort of have like that tunnel vision. Then there's other times where I write it and it's very raw and stripped down. And the first time I saw Love Die was super stripped down. It was just me and the guitar, and I knew I wanted it to have that atmospheric feel, but I didn't really know like to what degree and like sonically what it was going to be like. But Steal My Pride, I sort of had the idea for the strings, but not necessarily how they came out, which I'm happy with because they sound fantastic. Yeah. So it's definitely song to song. It's just, and it's about serving the song. So that's the thing where you just kind of go one step at a time and you just kind of put the pieces together.
Yeah, and I really love the structure of the EP, the way that you kind of put this in behind the next two, because as we go into the last song, completely different.
Ballad!
Yeah, exactly. So it's almost like we're gradually moving in a different direction here, and Steal My Pride's kind of like pivoting the EP a little bit.
That's
towards.
Why I liked it. It definitely is the song that changes it up. It moves the EP well. Which I was really dead set on the set list and the flow of the songs.
Yeah. And we talked about that, man, because that could probably drive you nuts. Because you're probably like, it could go like this, but maybe it could go like this.
I just think it makes sense to write it like whatever feels most natural. It just makes sense to have the songs in that order. Like, I don't know. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Some people like to do it where it's just very sporadic, and that's cool. But I think for the listener, especially because, you know, a majority of people listening probably aren't musicians, you just kind of want there to be that flow. So to me, it just made sense, and I was happy with it. And this was just a project that I worked on for a long time and was just trying to get the pieces together for over a year. I finally got the guys together and was like, okay, we're really going to do this. And, you know, and they were super accommodating and helpful. So it was nice.
And I really want to explore something you just talked about. Putting together music for people who are listening that probably don't understand everything that goes into putting out an EP, let alone, you know, albums and stuff like that, does it ever frustrate you? And to be completely honest, that like, they're like, oh, that's a cool song. Like a cool, like I spent hours and hours on this.
I mean, that's how a majority of people talk. Like, and I'm the same way. I'm like, oh yeah, it's a cool song. I like it. And then, but it, you know what it is? Like, I think people, even musicians, it takes a couple listens to really like digest everything. Because the first one is you're just taking it in, and then the second, third, fifth, whatever, like however many times you listen, you start finding other things in the song that you may or may not like, and that kind of shift your opinion and perspective about the song or the album that you're listening to. So, but if I don't necessarily, I don't get mad if someone doesn't like, if someone came up to me and was like, hey man, that's a good song, I'd be like, thanks. That makes me so happy. I don't need you to be like, listen, second verse, third line, wow.
I was blown away.
Mind blown. I'm like, dude, listen, I'm writing these like little pop songs. It's cool. If people like it, that's great. If not, you know, I mean, that's not what I want, but not everybody's going to like my stuff, and I get that. Yeah. I just want people to listen at least once. Just give it a shot. Come on.
Come on, guys.
Come on.
Where are you? No, but, and I want to talk to you about something else about, you know, putting together EP, album, you know, any type of project. Mm-hmm. I love talking about album art.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, what was the process of, you know, putting your picture up there with the white background and the song? Was it something that was easy? Let's do it like this.
It's just an egotistical dick. I was just like, I need to have my photo.
Yes.
On this.
Yes.
This is mine. No, I mean, it's so funny because the EP is like recorded as a full band EP, which is cool, but it's branded as a solo artist. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I am when I'm playing my music, because I don't write or play with a band all the time. I mean, obviously the guys in the Rockets are an exception from when I get to do stuff, but it's not like I went on the road and I like really supported this summer. Mm-hmm. I put it out and I was playing Rocket shows every day, and I was just giving it away to people for free. Which was a big problem, which we talked about. Which people,
speaking of,
people got to start paying for music again. But that's a whole nother beast.
That's a whole nother beast,
yeah,
right there.
But with the EP, was sort of like in your face at moments and punchy, but sort of had that heart. I definitely liked, you know, having that old school, and it had just overall this sort of old school kind of feel,
yeah,
to it.
Absolutely.
Song to song. So I want it to be like, you know, shirt and tie and stuff like that, and stuff, you know. So
hey, I liked it. You know, I thought it was awesome. I just want to hear what you thought.
No,
what
I
was behind it.
I love, like, I grew up on like Elvis, and I love Sinatra and stuff like that.
They love putting their face on things.
Oh my God. They're handsome.
Yeah, they're handsome men.
I get told
you're,
I look
following
like,
suit right there.
I'm trying. I get told I look like Steve Buscemi a lot. So
like, you mean Elvis, right?
Yeah. So it was just a cool thing to do. I just. And at first, there is that thought in the back of your mind, like, man, people are going to think this may be weird, but like, who gives a shit?
There's
so many people in this world. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. You put a lot of work into that. You should be face on it,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, but I am super proud of what I've done and the people I've worked with, because everyone that I've worked with on this project is like light years ahead of me. So I was like, it was a huge learning experience too, which is really cool. Just tried to take that day to day and really digest things that I was learning on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
Whether if it was something as simple as like, okay, we're going to use this snare today, or we're going to use this microphone for this song because whatever, like, you know, there's so much thought process that goes into it that people don't understand. That even I was in the studio, I was like, man, that makes sense. I didn't think of that. I was ready to go in and plug into one amp and just be like, let's do it.
I'm ready.
And every song, we sat there for like an hour and a half. We're like, no, try this amp. Try this amp. All right, we're going to like change the tone, you know, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And that just shows that I worked with professionals that really care about making each song the best and having that overall, like, that umbrella and that sound, but song to song has an identity.
Yeah, and you can tell, man. I mean, this was a very well put together EP, clean, you know what I mean? Sounded really good, well put together.
Thank you.
Each song, and then,
thanks,
like we talk about, the structure of
yeah.
the songs. And let's get into the last one, man. I was very excited to talk about this song
dun,
with you
dun,
because
dun.
Waiting on You, the very last song in the EP. You want to talk about a bit of a change of pace from the first three songs.
Oh, I mean, my God, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it. I mean, I'm going through these first three songs. This next one, I'm like, am I on the right album? Is
yeah.
it, did I change here? So what? Like, where did it come? It was a great song.
Thank
it's just,
you.
Where did it come from, man?
Thank you. It was, I love all the old school stuff, all the old doo-wop stuff, like Dion and the Belmonts and Paul Anka and just all those like old school like pop singers and, you know, what have you, and Smokey Robinson, all over the place.
Yeah.
But anyway, I wanted to write like a straight up old school ballad that was just had like this kind of 50s, 60s kind of vibe to it. And that song I wrote in, I'd say, 5 minutes.
Really?
I wrote it, yeah. It was, so I've been dating my girlfriend for like 4 months, right? So she was living in Philly at the time. Now she lives down here. I was like, all right, we've been dating for 4 months, which is like a weird time because you're like, it's been a long time, but not like long enough. Like, what do I buy you? Like, I don't want to get her flowers.
It's like that awkward timing of a relationship almost.
So I had this idea, and basically the song, you know, I'd written the chord structure, which is just a total ripoff of all the old stuff, honestly. And I had this idea of like, you start to love someone and maybe they're not as vocal or like accepting, or they don't reciprocate, you know, the emotion to the level that you're expressing, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where it comes from. Like, till then, I'll be waiting on you, because I got hammered drunk on New Year's Day and I was like, I love you. And she was like, what? What?
That's always the best
We were at Tavern on Broad.
Really?
We were at Tavern on Broad with my best friend, John Carly, and one of the managers, Jimmy Masiak, who's a good friend of ours. And I was like, I got to tell you this. I mean it. And she was like, you're an idiot. And then
you could have said worse. You could have said
I'm pregnant. <Yeah. laughs> But like,
wait,
what? Yeah. So that's what it was about. So I wanted to give her something for Valentine's Day. So I wrote the song. Yeah, and that's how it came about. And that song to me was like, that's a very important song, because stylistically and just the level of writing on that song, as writing as what you call me, as a pop singer, writer.
Now I feel bad for saying it.
No, it's okay. I think it's kind of cute. I liked it.
I'm cute. He thinks I'm cute, guys.
He is. It was one of those songs like that was a song that I impressed myself with writing, because it is a simple song. And sometimes it's so hard to write simple songs because you think you have to put so many different things in your song, and you overlook these very easy ways of writing. And not that it was necessarily easy, but I'd written it very quickly, and it shows off my vocal ability as well as just songwriting and arrangement. So overall, that song to me was definitely a home run on this EP, and is the one song that has been getting a very consistent positive reaction.
Yeah.
So it feels good, and it's a nice song, and I'm just really proud of it.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more, man. A great song to round out the entire EP. Let's take a listen right here. This is Waiting on You, the fourth and final song off the Kingsley EP.
Darling, don't you go changing. I'll always be chasing, but I'm sick of waiting on you. Don't let go. Your hands are so cold. I'll always be chasing, waiting on you.
One thing, you know, that sticks out to me after even the first listen of this song is I actually went back after the first listen to right about a minute 40. So right when the song kind of stops.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's almost in that moment you could have gone big with it. But, you know, you kept that old school style and you brought it back. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
Yeah.
And was there any consideration to really go big with the song ever?
So at the very end of the song, I kind of vocally go up, and there's that big, like, grandiose moment where it's just me, like, just wailing and kind of going out and then resolving.
Mm.
I wanted to wait because I wanted there to be that grand moment where it was at the end, and then was like, I thought it was a nice way to really end the song, and also was just a huge moment to end the EP, because after a while, you're listening to four songs you've never heard before, and you get to the 14 and a half minute mark or whatever, that, all right, these songs are catchy and whatever, and however you feel is fine. And in that moment, I wanted there to be, like you said, I wanted it to go bigger at the very end, just to have a big, huge ending. Starts, it's slow, it picks up, it falls out completely, and then it goes right back to where it was.
Yeah,
and
I love
then
that.
It goes,
I love that, yeah.
And then there's like an insane guitar
it's
solo.
It's like a cliffhanger. Yeah, you're like, yeah. Ah, and then it comes back.
Yep.
Yeah,
yeah. And then there's Ross Belamont played the guitar solo. He crushed
it. Yeah, that was nasty, man.
It was. I was sitting there and I was like,
it came out of nowhere. I was like, whoa.
I started crying. I was like, oh my.
Did you really?
No, I'm kidding.
I would have loved that.
No, I wish I did though.
Yeah.
I'm not that deep. But it was like, wow, like, it was just a nice way to end the EP, and he absolutely crushed it on that song.
Yeah, he like, dude, when he came in, whoa, you know what I mean? Something that you just out of left field, but sounded so good.
I was nervous about when we went to record that because they're like guitar players are a dime a dozen, and Ross is super talented with everything he does, and he really served the song well. The way he played the solo and the guitar tone, I think, is awesome. And he doubled it, which was great. And he did it in two takes, which was like, he did the first one on a whim. And I was like, keep it. And then he was like, all right, let's double it. Did it again. And it was just awesome. Just badass. And I just sat there and I was just like, this is why I work with guys like this.
He's a pro.
He makes the good songs sound amazing. So it was cool. It was like, he upped the ante on everything we did, which is the way it needs to be.
Yeah, and
so.
And you know, listen to this song, and you know, you rounding out the EP with this song. You know, you sent me a little bit, and you talked some about vulnerability, which is something across all music, but especially when you get into like the pop and the R&B and some of the slower music.
Yeah.
Would you consider this song more vulnerable than most of your music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's really me. Like, I was really opening up, and I was like, I also think through the verses, I really paint the picture of that scene saying, like, you know, like, don't you go changing, the candles are burning. There's like this very intimate moment where two people are at sort of this point where the one person's like, all bets are off. Like, I'm not, like, you're not hiding anymore. And people make fun of me all the time because in the chorus,
I say,
naked, freezing cold. You know, I have no voice right now. Anyway. I say naked, freezing, you know, lying on your bedroom floor, naked, freezing cold. I'm not like naked, like spread eagle on the floor. But that was my idea of like, how can I express how vulnerable I felt?
Mm-hmm.
So you tell someone something that deep, which for me was like the first time I really meant it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that to me was like, okay, all bets are off. This is how I feel. And I'm not going to hold back. So that's where that came from.
Yeah. Well, man, I mean, we went through the entire EP. I want to congratulate you,
thank you.
On this.
Thanks
man,
a lot for
all
having
four
me, man.
Songs.
It's
no
great.
Problem. And before you leave, I want to do something real quick. We'll
do a
quick trivia. Like, we talked about this. I want to see, you sent me some artists, and I want to see how good you are with them. We'll start with, since we ended with Waiting on You, we'll start with Paul Anka. We'll start there. Trivia. Paul Anka, Canadian singer-songwriter.
Right.
And, you know, you were kind of filling me in. It seems like you have some goes way back with Paul Anka, or is this something that you kind of grew up with? Or
growing up, my grandfather listened to doo-wop. He had a lot of cool like 45s and stuff like that. So I grew up, you know, listening to a lot of that music. I didn't necessarily connect with it or really enjoy it until I was a little older, but it was always around.
Yeah.
Even though at a very young age, I loved Elvis.
Yeah.
And I loved, like, you know, the early Beatles stuff and Stones and stuff like that. So the taste was all over the place. But all the 50s and 60s pop, you know, singers were sort of in and out of my life.
Yeah,
up until recently, and I've really taken a liking to them.
That's very interesting. That's probably unique. I'm sure a lot of people aren't the same way.
And I think all, and like Dion and the Belmonts, I like his stuff. And songs like that and artists like that were what inspired Waiting on You.
Yeah.
And also just how we thought about producing everything on the album, where it was super crisp, but also just had, there's just a vibe, you know, that I wanted through the entire thing that was
That's
older.
Awesome, man. Yeah, that's the vision. That's the vision of the EP right there.
Tunnel, baby, tunnel.
All right, so here we go. Paul Anka.
He's not listening, so it doesn't matter.
What are we rolling with? That guy. So he wrote the well-known theme song for what popular weeknight television show that ran from the 60s to the 90s? These are tough, man. I'm not giving you any layups.
I know, yeah, you're not giving any layups.
Best guess.
Oh, my God. Gilligan's Island.
Close.
Wait, Gilligan's Island didn't run to the 90s? What am I talking about? What an idiot.
Yeah, you weren't close. But,
Jesus.
But
I have no idea.
It was
no
The
idea.
Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson.
He wrote his
theme music.
No way.
Isn't that crazy?
I did not know that.
I was like, that's very interesting.
Wow.
So yeah, fun fact about him right there.
That's crazy.
And let's move along to someone very similar, or a band that's very similar. Green Day, obviously, is very similar.
To Paul, yeah. Literally synonymous.
And, you know, Billy Joe Armstrong. And, you know, you can kind of hear in your EP, you kind of have an alternative, you know, vocal range there.
Huge inspiration.
Yeah,
I think if I could pick one band to be in besides the Beatles, it would be Green Day. Seriously. Like,
Oh my gosh.
I love their music.
Yeah, so this is a fun question here. In 2012, Green Day released a trilogy of albums, which were released in September, November, and December of the same year.
Mm-hmm.
What were the name of the three albums?
Uno, Dos, Tres.
God, you're good, man. I wanted you to go Ofer, and then I would figure it out myself.
Nah,
great
man,
job, man.
I'm a huge Green Day fan. And I will say, like, it was super cool that they did the trilogy. It wasn't very good, though. It was not very good.
It was a good idea.
It was a badass idea. Like, Green Day was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame their first year of eligibility because, like, after Nirvana and stuff like that, they did change the course of music. They brought punk rock to the forefront and stuff like that. And there was that, you know, that bit of pop about them, which was obviously, and as time went on, you know, American Idiot was the total resurgence of that band, which, you know, brought them to continue on. But that trilogy, I think it would have been awesome if they just made, like, took the 38 songs and recorded the best, like, 10. But I saw them on that tour, and
that's why the B-sides there.
Oh, my God, it would have been great. They could, you know, like, but it is what it is. And also, you play in a band for, like, 30 years, you're, like, you're bored. And you also, you have so much money, do whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I was reading about it, and, like, one of the albums on Uno, Dos, Tres sold, like 25,000 units. Like, something insanely, like, bad, like terrible. And I was like, you know what? None of them are losing sleep about it. They're just like, fuck it.
Oh, on to the next one then.
Who cares?
That didn't go. All right, so we talked about Green Day, you know, transition into a extremely popular band that was rumored to tour last year. I think they did go on a tour, Fleetwood Mac. I don't know if did they end up doing that
Fleetwood
tour?
Mac. All I know is Fleetwood Mac is touring either right now or
about to tour.
It was either I think they did tour last year.
They did tour, okay.
But it was they fired Lindsey Buckingham.
That's what happened. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Was that the answer to your question?
No. So, obviously, when you think of Fleetwood Mac, at least for me, you know, Rumors. In 1977, Fleetwood Mac released Rumors, which produced 4 U.S. top 10 singles and remained number one on the album charts for 31 weeks. Rumors has sold over 40 million copies worldwide. Where does that rank the album in top-selling albums to date?
Wow.
Yeah. This is like a shot in the dark. I just want to see where you would estimate this.
Okay, I'm going to try to narrow it down. I would say, you said 40 million?
40 million.
40 million worldwide. It's definitely in the top 10. I don't know if it might be like top 5. Not top 5? You're giving me a weird look. Okay, it's in the top 10. Because there's the Beatles, mm-hmm. Michael Jackson, mm-hmm. Nirvana. Mm-hmm. Justin Bieber, I think, actually holds one,
no.
maybe.
Does he?
He got some record a couple years ago. I don't know. But what number is it?
Eighth.
It's number eight?
You were not far off. Well, guys, I want to thank everyone for listening. Tyler, thank you so much for having me today.
It's awesome, man.
Definitely go check out Kingsley EP, available on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, everywhere music is sold. And you can see Tyler, Rocco's, and Oyster House alternating Tuesday nights, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, check them out with the Rockets. And if you ever need any type of event music, you can listen to Musical Memories.
Yeah, so yeah. We had Pete McCartney and I had this idea for Valentine's Day 2 years ago. I wanted to make some extra cash. Uh-huh. So I thought there's a lot of guys out there that don't really know how to express themselves. So I could express it for them. So I would write love songs for these guys to give to their girlfriends as a gift. And dude, charge them like a couple $100.
That's awesome.
So we did a couple of them. And that's just sort of like, you know, as they come. It's not something that I'm like fully pursuing. Mm-hmm. But I teamed up with Pete McCartney just to kind of do it just for fun.
Yeah.
And make a little extra cash. It's not like I'm like blowing up because of it. But it was just a fun thing to do.
So if you ever need it, if you ever need anyone,
come to Xfinity Live, see the Rockets at every Eagles home game, and, you know, write a check.
He'd be happy to accept your checks, guys.
$400.
He'd be happy to do it. All right, Tyler, thank you so much
again, man.
And I hope I see you again soon.
I'm still here waiting on you.